is on a Saturday morning. First-hand report, snow in Ash Fork.
Yeah.
It's raining in Whitman. Amanda just sent me a text. They're enjoying the smell of that creosote on the wet desert floor this morning.
We're so far behind in moisture this year, we'll take it any way we can get it right now.
Nothing out the window in Central Phoenix yet. Our next Tucson call, we'll get a report from there. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, no matter where moisture falls in Arizona. It's gorgeous. Mike, welcome back to the program. How you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
What you working on?
I've got a 2,300 square foot single story house, and a couple of the rooms on the west side of the house, which happens to be as farthest away from the air handler, they've been warm. You know, every summer they're warm. So a friend suggested, he has his own air conditioning company, he does on the side. He suggested these vents. You know, I have the original stamped out vents that come with track homes. And he suggested this one that it just blows pretty much straight through. Of course, you still have the adjustment on it, but when they're both open, it blows straight down and you get 100% of the air out of the ducts. And when I put it on, it was pretty incredible. I mean, it cooled those rooms right down. I just wanted to know if there's any downfall to using those.
It's a good question. It's amazing what difference the registers can make. Found the
bottom control. It looks like it. The original one's probably cut off, 25-30% of the airflow.
Yeah, the originals are what we just call stamped metal registers, but then you've got the bar type, then you back those up with an OBD. Todd, I know you've got some strong opinions on registers.
Yeah, I mean, what you had in there originally was called a stamped face grill. It's just a cheaper grill, and what you probably put in was a bar face grill. Effectively, what you're doing is you're reducing the restriction on the air conditioning airflow system, on the duct system. Anytime you can reduce the restriction, obviously you're going to get more air into that room. Air conditioning systems deliver their cooling through airflow, so you've effectively increased your airflow.
Any long-term negative effects?
No. I mean, in fact, it'll put less wear and tear on the system and let it work better.
So you're in great shape, Mike.
The only negative you could possibly think of to it is that, you know, air distribution, where you're distributing it, is important. So potentially, if you put it in every room, you might reduce some air in one room and add more to another. If you used an OBD, you could adjust it.
And the OBD is an installation unit that fits in back behind the bar face grill. It's a separate piece.
Yeah, effectively, it's just a small damper. In a perfect world, you wouldn't have OBDs because you're creating a damper. You would prefer not to have dampers in because effectively you're creating restrictions.
But it's not a perfect world.
Yeah, we use them all the time. I mean, it's not a bad
home. That are 50 years old or 20 years old, they've all got different layouts.
No,
you're very rarely working with a perfect situation.
Right. And an OBD is, it's a very good register. You shouldn't be afraid to use it.
Yeah. So, Mike, there you go. That does help quite a bit. It's amazing what the different registers will do in the way of air distribution. We took Trish, talked to her offline.
She was on her way to work. She was actually sitting in the parking lot waiting to talk to us before she went in, but she didn't want to be late, so we took her at bottom of the hour news, and she had a question. You had mentioned, radiant barrier is rarely the right answer, and she wants to know, well, when is that situation that radiant barrier would be the right answer? She bought it from, it was in the home from the builder, and it's not uncommon for builders to just add that as an additional selling point to the home. And
when radiant barrier first hit the market really, really hard, I want to say 7-8 years ago, a lot of builders started putting on the radiant barrier roof decking, which is the aluminum coated plywood roof deck. It was a nominal cost to upgrade to that. It's not hurting anything. The radiant barrier I'm talking about, so she bought it as an installed product. The radiant barrier I'm talking about is these aftermarket guys that want to come in and staple it to the underside of your attic or spray it to the underside of your attic or sprinkle it across the top of your insulation bed that's already in your attic. Any of those three applications, you're not going to see any return on investment at all. So where's the right place for a radiant barrier? If the attic's properly insulated, there's no right place for Radiant Bear.
And it's not hurting anything being in the home from the build.
It's not
so it's you're not in a bad situation.
No. The intent of Radiant Bear is to lower the attic temperature, which, depending on how well your ductwork is insulated, could have an impact. The problem is it's the cost effectiveness of it is it's just too expensive for the benefit you get in most cases. And, you know, Radiant Bears prevent heat transfer. Well, if it gets dirty, it starts to transfer heat again. So we've seen in many circumstances where radiant barrier works for a short period of time and then stops working immediately. Unlike insulation, you put insulation in there, it's going to prevent heat transfer.
It gets a little dusty. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Probably helps it.
Yeah, it does. And how many people are going to go in their attic and dust off their radiant barrier?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It just isn't going to happen.
Now, for new home building, are you a fan of cathedral style building? We did a broadcast in 08, Toll Brothers with APS. Mm-hmm. Gosh, North... kind of that Cave Creek boundary, carefree. And I was impressed with building, bringing the insulation barrier above the ductwork. So now you're moving air through 110 degrees as opposed to 150 or 160 degrees.
Yeah.
I thought the concept worked right. I've never lived in one.
It is absolutely the best way to install insulation. And it's not 110. It's a few degrees warmer than the house. So if your house is set at 78, it's probably 84 in your attic space.
Wow.
And so what happens is you don't have heat load, or you have limited heat load on your duct system, which could potentially be 20-25% of your heat load in some circumstances. So what you're really doing is significantly reducing how much air conditioning you need to keep that house cool, because you don't have the load on the ducts that you would in a conventional insulation application. It's a great system.
Cathedral insulation. It basically seals your attic. There is little to no ventilation in your attic.
There's no ventilation in your attic. It's sealed. You have to be careful, though. Don't.
It's not a retrofit.
Yeah, you can do it
in
retrofit. You can do it in a retrofit application. It's more work, obviously. You got to get out of the house for a day or so because there is off-gassing. But if you're going to do it, you need to use foam insulation. Don't try to cathedralize bad insulation. Don't try to cathedralize blown-in cellulose or fiberglass. It doesn't work. Insulation, it needs to hit an air barrier in order to be functioning. So you can't float insulation. Unless it's, you know, obviously, if you have foam, it's sticking to the roof deck and it works. But other products don't work in cathedralized application.
Doing home energy audits, y'all are in a lot of attics. The one thing that I wouldn't let this stop me, but I've always wondered, what does that look like after a leak now? How much harder is it to find a leak through the roof decking? Because it would stain the plywood sheeting, and it would make it easier to find a leak. Does that foam camouflage it and manifest itself? That was my only concern, but like I said, I wouldn't let it stop me from doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it might. I mean, what probably happens is you probably have the water in the foam for some period of time.
It
may prevent the leak for a significant amount of time. I don't know.
Here at Rosie on the House, we're talking about the pros and the cons of different things that you can or try at your house. We're here to try and protect you from making expensive mistakes. The phone number is 1-888-767-4348, 8 to 11 every Saturday morning. All week long, you can find us at rosieonthehouse.com. At rosieonthehouse.com is one place and the only place you can go and register for an Arizona staycation. If you've been taking care of your house the way we recommend you take care of your house, then you're going to have some free time to go out and enjoy this great state. Get in there. It's sponsored by Sanderson Ford of Glendale, Arizona. You register your name every month. We pick a winner. Sanderson Ford provides you with a vehicle of your choice off their demo lot. You get to tell us where you want to go and when you want to go. There are no blackout dates. This is a vacation you customize and design. We work with you in the Arizona Office of Tourism and Arizona Highways Magazine to take care of the lodging and the food. It is a completely packaged Arizona staycation. Take the opportunity and enjoy to go see beautiful places in Arizona. We've got Dave from Tempe that won, Rose from Phoenix won, and just this weekend, Tracy is up at Best Western Plus, Inn of Sedona. I'll tell you, this inn has unbelievable Red Rock views. The Best Western Plus Inn of Sedona showcases all that Sedona has to offer. The hotel's award-winning terrace design takes full advantage of its hilltop location with promenade decks all around that allow the guests to enjoy 360-degree Red Rock views without leaving the hotel. Tracy's lucky because she's seeing those views from her Inn of Sedona room, and it's now draped under a slight little covering of snow. The perfect condition for seeing Sedona. Absolutely beautiful. So it's Inn of Sedona. If you're ever in the Sedona area and you want an incomparable stay, give them a call at 928-282-3072 or call them toll free at 800-292-6344 or simply visit them, innofsedona.com. Tracy, congratulations on winning the Sanderson Ford Rosie on the House Arizona staycation this weekend. Hope you're listening on our broadcast affiliate out of Sedona, Chasm Hasm.
That's just one of the great benefits of living in Arizona, and you've got so many different terrains and elevations and scenery to see. And like you said, that's one of the reasons this program's here, is to make sure that you're living as maintenance-free in your home so you can take those great weekends to go enjoy the sights that are just, you know, I mean, you could leave Tucson and then 3 hours be in snow.
Oh, yeah.
And not a lot of places and you can do that.
Yeah, you could do it quicker than that. Sometimes you're just running up to Winter Haven, top of Mount Lemmon.
Yeah, but I mean like today, right now, in real time. I don't think it's snowing.
Probably not. Probably not. But Arizona, people always ask me why I don't travel more. I travel by business. I was up at Park City last week, and I've got to run out to Portland for a week. But why would I want to get in an airplane and leave Arizona? And every place I want to see, I can get with in my F-250 right here in Arizona.